Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and on this edition of the show, you'll meet Jason Malone, the Chief Development Officer of College, Career, and Beyond. This is the Midnight Golf Program, an after-school golf program that teaches children about golf and so much more. The legendary Kroc Gym is back. We'll talk to Paul Boddy, the CEO, and John Lepak, the Chief Operating Officer. And the historic Route 66 will be a big part of the Detroit Auto Show in January. Sam Clement, the show's executive director, will be stepping by to tell us all about it. A great show about what's happening in and around the D right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and we kick off Opportunity Detroit today with Jason Malone. He is the Chief Development Officer for College, Career, and Beyond. Now, this is an organization many of you know as the Midnight Golf Program. The name change is College, Career, and Beyond, and it's operating right here in the city of Detroit, not too far from the Fisher Building. Jason, welcome to the show.
And thank you for having me.
So it's great to have you. I recently had a real treat. I was able to go over to College, Career, and Beyond and have this incredible tour from you and your mom. And wow, Jason, this is a fascinating program and an absolutely beautiful building that you're operating out of.
Well, thank you. And yeah, it's been a long time coming. And I would say that we are extremely blessed to be in the circumstances that we're in. We've been changing lives in the city of Detroit and Metro Detroit area for the past 25 years. So to see a vision, an idea that you had, 25 years ago, and to see where it started to where we've come, I kind of pinch myself every day.
Oh, I bet you do. And I want our listeners to know, Jason, that you're the inspiration behind this. Can you kind of give us the backstory of how you and mom got started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up playing golf. I grew up on the west side of Detroit, the Livernois and Finkel area. And it was golf that kept me on the straight and narrow. We were looking for a sport that kind of fit the direction that we were going in. My mother and I come from a single parent household. My dad was killed in a car accident when I was 12. Mm. And my mother, instead of the traditional football, basketball, baseball, she goes, I want to go the non-traditional route. So I started playing golf when I was 9 years old and got hooked. And it was golf that kept me on a straight and narrow in addition to going to U of D Jesuit High School. So a combination of those two, and then going back and forth every day to where I grew up at, it was like night and day. And I told my mom, I didn't understand why a lot of my friends who grew up in my neighborhood knew nothing about golf. Whereas when I got to U of D, a lot of my teammates and friends, it was a normal thing. And so my senior year in high school, I was at a national tournament in Disney World, and there was a gentleman from the PGA of America who sponsored the tournament. And, my mom told him, she goes, Jason's got an idea. We want to start a golf program. And my mom knew nothing about golf. My mom was a social worker with the state of Michigan for 30 plus years.
I love it.
And she the gentleman goes, well, I don't know anything about Detroit, but if you're serious, let's have a conversation. I go away to school in the fall of 2000. I come home for winter break in 2001. And my mom has 17 kids from one of the local housing projects.
Oh,
she went
door
to door. Yeah. To date, since then, 25 years later, we put well over 3,000 young people to 165 colleges across the country.
That's incredible, Jason. It's absolutely incredible. So the way the program starts is, okay, we're going to have this golf program. But then all of a sudden now, you're helping kids get into college and you're keeping them in college. Talk a little bit about that part of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a city where a high school graduation rate has always been difficult, young folks trying to get to the next level from Detroit, this past graduating class, 97% of the young people who attended our program are at a four-year college or institution. So we're really proud of that. And that's been the norm for the past 20 plus years, right? And so we use golf as a vehicle to deliver all the pertinent relative life skills and soft skills that young people need to be successful in the country, let alone in their backyard, in their neighborhood, essentially trying to create better taxpaying citizens with purpose and drive. And so we meet every Monday, Wednesday, and every Tuesday, Thursday during the school year. We have two cohorts, and, you know, they'll start off with a presenter. And the presenter, he or she will speak about, you know, for example, the importance of writing thank you notes. And we'll feed our young people. That's how we got them going. Originally, my mom, like I said, went door to door in the projects, and she, you know, told young people, because they could care less about golf. They were more concerned about eating. And she said, you know, we can definitely feed you. And so we still do. We still feed our young people a full course meal, because for a lot of the young people that we serve, this is the only meal that they get, you know, during the day. A lot of our young people are in public housing. They're staying from, you know, place to place. Some stay in hotels and, you know, shelters and things of the nature. And so we do our best to make sure that they can get a full course meal at some point during the day. And so once that's done, we split into two sessions. We've been partners with the PGA of America in the Michigan section for a very long time, since our inception. And so 9 PGA pros come over the course of 30 weeks to teach our young people the game of golf and how to play and the importance of understanding the rules. And so they get attracted to the golf. And while that's taking place, the other half of the group, we split them in half. The other half of the group goes into a session called Tee Time. And so Tee Time is a double play on, obviously, Tee Time golf, but sure. How women would have tea in London, and they would have conversations about, you know, topics and what was going on in their lives. And so the Tee Time sessions is a carryover from what the presenter spoke about during that day. We're blessed to have 80 different mentors from all walks of life that help our young people throughout the program. 33% of the mentors this year, which I'm very proud to say, are young people that I mentored when I was mentoring in the program, and they're giving back. So it's a full circle moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. It is such a great story. Now, do you also help the kids, or do the mentors help the kids with homework issues, or, you know, what college they should try to get into, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So the mentors provide kind of like it's interesting. You ask any mentor that's been mentoring for a while, they get more out of the program than the young
people
do.
I bet.
Because it's so fulfilling and it's so rewarding. We also have a number of different college coaches and college assistants that work with our young people. And we have and that's part of the name change, is because a lot of people thought we were just a golf program. Well, in fact, golf is 10-15% of the work that we do. We're really a college preparation program and a college success program that uses golf as just the carrot to help drive the young people to get to that next level. And so, you know, we're blessed to have the number of people that support us, our collegiate coaches that come in. We have a partnership with the Clearinghouse where we can check in on the young people that are in school that may not be following up with their parents or letting their, you know, whoever's in charge at home know, hey, this is what's going on. So they're able to go to us. They're able to go to their mentors, you know, to kind of get an update and seek support where needed.
Describe the facility for our listeners. I mean, you've got all these golf simulators. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, no, it is. It's this was a two and a half year renovation of the old public broadcasting systems services in Detroit, right there on 2nd and Bethune. And so the building sat dormant for a number of years, and until, like I said, 2.5 years ago, our previous board chair, a gentleman by the name of Jamie Jacob, donated the facility to us. And, you know, we obtained a construction loan, a $10 million construction loan to rehab the facility. And so it's, for the longest, we were, you know, program was being facilitated at Mary Grove College. Our office space was in Bingham Farms and, you know, on Telegraph and 13. We would practice golf at Beachwoods Golf Course, which is in Southfield. And my mom would go all the way downtown to the main post office to get the mail that, you know, that we would receive. And so now everything is under one roof. The basement, which is a little bit over 20,000 square feet, the PGA of America designed the entire basement. Simulators, it's chipping, it's practicing, it's putting. Anything dealing with golf is in that basement. The first floor is mainly classrooms, where we facilitate the program out of. It's the main hall. And then on the second floor is where our administration and staff is located at. So just a kind of dream come true, all in one space. And I welcome folks to reach out to me so they can come take a visit.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I find impressive about this program is you have an entire section dedicated to helping students stay in college once they get in. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So what we've noticed, Dan, over the last few years, for first-generation college students that experience College Career Beyond, it's been a journey, right? And so if you go back 3 years ago, it was 27% of young people were first-generation college students that have gone through our program. And as years progressed, as of last year, we were at 32%. So what we're seeing is young people want to get to school, but when you don't have the support system, the wraparound services, the funding, the financial support, it's kind of hard to stay there. I recall a time when my mom had a young man. She was coming out of a luncheon, and there was a young man screaming her name, and my mom is affectionately known as Miss Renee. And she hears this young man yelling her name, Miss Renee, Miss Renee. Well, the young man was on a light post working for DTE. And so he comes down off the light post, and my mom goes, aren't you supposed to be in school? It was the summer. Well, this young man was at Georgia Tech, and he finished his freshman year with a 3.75 GPA, which is phenomenal, right?
Wow, yes.
Well, he tells my mom, he goes, you know, unfortunately, I had to transfer back home to get a job because I didn't have $800 to go back down to Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And so at that moment, my mom kind of, you know, realized, he goes, what if that young man, if he would have finished, what would his life have been if he would have finished at Georgia Tech? What are the possibilities? And so part of our efforts were to make sure that young people that need the support, we were able to provide the wraparound services, whether it's funding, clothing, a train ticket or a plane ticket back home, whatever the case may need. We try to meet the young people where they're at. And even scholarship money. Since our inception in 2001, we've given away just close to $2.5 million in scholarship money
to
the young people that participate in our program. Yeah, so it's kind of a unique thing. We're super proud of our work, but we also know that there's more work to be done here locally, and then potentially nationally.
Absolutely. And you're celebrating 25 years next year with a big gala. Talk about that too, Jason.
Yeah, so just as of this past Friday, we signed the contract for the Hudson Department Store to host our 25th year gala.
Wow.
And as soon as I get back in town, I'm on calls all week trying to figure that out as we get the ball rolling on that. So more to come on that. I will definitely share with you and the audience as soon as I get more information. The date will be April 30th, but more information to come.
Jason, if our listeners want to get involved in helping you with this program, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, if you go to www.collegecareerbeyond.org, and there's a button in the right corner, the right-hand corner of the website when you log in, it says donate. And you can donate there. We're looking for clothes to support our young people, suits, things of that nature. So there's ways to support us outside of money. We always receive golf clubs. That's always a blessing to receive, but mainly, like, during this season, we're looking to get shirts and hats and scarves for some of our young people that need it.
Jason Malone, Chief Development Officer for College Career and Beyond, thank you for checking in with us. It was great to talk to you.
And it's always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, the Kronk Gym has opened its doors in Detroit. We'll have that story. Are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Earlier this year, the developers behind the legendary Kronk Boxing Gym announced that the historic gym was coming back to Detroit. Well, the gym has officially opened, and Paul Botti, the chief executive officer, and John Lepak, the chief operating officer, are here to tell us all about it. Paul and John, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start with you, Paul, and why don't you tell our listeners, I think most of our listeners probably have some idea about the history of the Kronk Boxing Gym, but give us the details. Remind people out in our audience, what was the Kronk Boxing Gym?
So the Kronk Boxing Gym is known as the most iconic brand and gym in the world of boxing. Started in the 70s by Emmanuel Stewart. And multiple amateurs that went through to world championship level all came under his tutelage.
Which is incredible. And now it is reopened. It's located at 670 Wilkins Street. And John, why don't you talk a little bit about how you brought it back and what's it all about now.
Well, first of all, I've got to tell you, growing up in Detroit as not only a member of the original Kronk Gym under Emanuel Steward, but a longtime WJR listener, and happy and proud to say third generation with my children. So thank you very much, WJR, for all that you do for the city.
Oh,
and tying it into Kronk, you know, it's very special to me. As I said, I grew up on the west side of Detroit, eventually moved downriver, Michigan. But growing up in the iconic Kronk Gym and having the mentorship and leadership of Emanuel Steward, he truly was far more than just a Hall of Fame boxing trainer. As Paul said, you know, this gym has developed more world champions than any gym in the history of boxing. But what Emanuel Steward also is known for is just being somebody that was just a very instrumental part of the community in Detroit and gave back to so many kids that you may never have heard their names in the boxing ring, but he provided guidance and direction to so many kids like myself to help us outside of the ring. And quite honestly, that's why I'm here. It's because of those very same lessons that Emanuel Steward taught me outside the ring that has brought me back to my role presently.
So, Paul, talk to us about what will be offered at the renovated new Kronk Gym. What will people be able to experience when they go there?
So we've kind of got two models within the same building. We've got the fitness side of the house, which starts at 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday to Friday, 8 till 2 on a Saturday. And that's where people of all fitness levels can come into the gym, learn boxing fundamentals. They're not going into spa. They're just getting fit, using boxing as that medium. So that's the fitness side of the house. Then boxing Monday to Friday and as well on a Saturday starts at 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., where youth, amateur, and professionals all turn up and they learn under the watchful eye of former Kronk world champions and former Kronk fighters and alumni that we've both made sure, John and I, that we're tying in the legacies of the past to bring them into this gym and show the future generation. All the pictures you see on the wall here, a majority of those people that are highlighted on the wall, former greats and champions, and now coaching you on your own journey into boxing.
Oh, it's such a great story that you've got this return of this amazing, historic Detroit franchise. So it sounds to me like this is going to be a great opportunity for families to teach their kids. Kids who are interested in boxing, they can come here and learn all about it.
You know, that's just a great point because, you know, I remember growing up as a kid, you know, going to the original Kronk Gym over in the basement of the recreation center on the west side. And it's just amazing for me now to become, again, one of those kids and now into a parent and see so many former Kronk brothers and sisters of mine coming back with children of their own. And so now you have an entirely new generation of Kronk fighters that can look up, as Paul said, and see pictures of these great icons of the past on the wall. And sometimes even see pictures of their own parents on our walls. And now they're taking part, following in the same footsteps of the greats that were laid before them.
You know, John, you've got a great story. We're talking to John Lepak. He's the chief operating officer of the Kronk Boxing Gym. Your story is spectacular because you went to this gym growing up, and now you're the chief operating officer. How does that feel for you?
It's truly a life come full circle moment. I'm sitting here looking out the window right now of our gym at Ford Field and Comerica Park. I can see the Fox Theater off in the distance, LCA. And just to be back home, blocks literally away from where I originally grew up, I can't explain what it means. You know, it's a tremendous honor and responsibility at the same time because it's not just about bringing back an iconic brand and institution to the city of Detroit. It's also about honoring the legacy of the great Emanuel Steward, again, who did so much for the community, so much for the youth. And it truly is an honor to be, again, following in that blueprint that he left us. And I want to say, there will never be another original Kronk Gym. There will never be another Emanuel Steward. But Paul and I and the team and all of our coaching staff here are committed to honoring not just the legacy and the blueprint of Kronk, but the legacy of Emmanuel Stewart and what this means to the city of Detroit.
Such a great story. Now, John, what are some of the life lessons that you learned from being involved in boxing at a young age?
You know, boxing is known as an individual sport. So I'll start there. It teaches you a lot about being able to count on yourself, self-belief. It teaches you discipline, teaches you respect. So many life lessons that, again, you carry with you throughout life. And I can share a personal story. I've said it before on a podcast that there's not a day that goes by I don't wake up, that I don't apply a lesson in my life to this day that I didn't learn from the original Kronk Gym or Emmanuel Stewart. And that's where things like Emmanuel Stewart, for example, he taught me how to shave. And this is where your children, if you're out there listening as a parent, our coaching staff is committed to guiding our youth with lessons that will apply for years and years to come that they can pass down to generations that follow.
So, Paul, based on what John is saying, it really sounds like this is much more than just a place where people are going to go and learn how to box. They're going to learn about a whole lot more.
There is massive opportunities for everybody that walks through these doors. As John mentioned, the former gym on Junction McGraw had such unbelievable storied history and success, and we're deeply honoured and carry that responsibility to bring this brand into the modern day and start impacting future generations in multiples of ways. We have a boxing gym, of course, but Kronk brand circa 2025, there's multiple revenue streams that we're using to always be the flywheel that supports boxing, from merchandise, the gym, licensing, sponsorships, our boxing advisory services. These are all the revenue streams that are going to support the boxing. So we're bringing this back truly. You know, one of our trademarks is Detroit's fifth franchise. Well, we're now putting that franchise firmly back on the map of Detroit.
And Paul, what's your background? Talk a little bit about how you got into this boxing world.
So as you can tell with my accent, I'm certainly not from Southwest Detroit, where John's from. I'm a native of Manchester, England. I came over here 2007. I've worked in IT all of my career, for 31 years. Been a boxing fan all of my life. My dad got me into Muhammad Ali when I was very, very young, 7, 8 years old. And that flame for the sport of boxing has always been very, very lit inside me. And I got an opportunity a couple of years ago to meet with John and the Stewart family to talk about the possibility of acquiring the trademarks to this phenomenal brand, which for me personally was an absolute surreal moment. And it's just living a dream day by day that now I've chosen this as my career path, retired from IT and come into this full bore to bring this back and do what's right for the city.
Well, you know, I have to confess, I know absolutely nothing about boxing, but I know a lot about this Kronk Boxing Gym just from growing up in the Detroit area. I mean, this is a big name. This is a great story. The other thing that I find interesting is that you're offering boxing for women. Are a lot of women interested in boxing?
Oh, there has never been a better time for women to get involved in boxing. One of our head trainers who grew up in Kronk, I might say since he was 8 years old himself, Theo Third Chambers, he's now the head trainer of Jake Paul. And what Jake Paul, for example, has done to women's boxing has really been a pioneer in creating awareness and opportunities. And now you will see a lot of female fighters that are making career-high purses, and in many cases, making more than the male fighters. Wow. So the playing field is leveled. There are some amazing opportunities. And I got to tell you, it's great. The fans love it. The spectators truly, truly enjoy it. And again, I think it's one of those things where you can provide a lot of life lessons for young girls to get involved in this sport as well.
Is boxing hard to learn? I mean, is it something that anybody can learn, or do you have to have a certain aptitude for it? How does that work, John?
Well, there's no one-size-fits-all.
Okay.
And this is where, again, I will say that, you know, you can get involved and you can compete at various levels. Generally, the amateurs, we personally start at 8 years of age for our youth boxing team. And there's just, again, there's so many different levels of coaching and participation that is involved. And again, you can fight, you know, in the local shows, you can go all the way to national tournaments, and you can, in this case, with the sport of boxing, it provides opportunities where a lot of the other sports are so costly, as we all know as parents, to get our children involved in things like football and baseball. It's so competitive, basketball, all of these camps. Boxing is one of the last sports that's truly affordable for families. And I would like to add that what we do here at Kronk is we provide fully funded opportunities for anybody who makes our amateur team. We cover all their fees, equipment, expenses, travel expenses. So it's an amazing opportunity. And what it did for me as a kid, and I look forward to paying this forward, is it gave a young kid like me an opportunity to travel the world and get out of the neighborhood and experience so much culture and the amazing things that the world has to offer to the youth.
And you know, Paul, based on what John is saying, it sure sounds like boxing gives kids an opportunity to stay out of trouble, out of any kind of trouble on some of the streets of Detroit. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 1,000,000%. There's a lot of negative energy on the streets in certain areas, and we just want to provide that platform and that window where kids can come in, be mentored, be led, and giving them a chance. That's what it's all about. You redirect negative energy to positive energy with the sport of boxing. It's what that sport is known for, and especially with Kronk in Detroit. So that's exactly our goal and mission.
Paul Boddy, Chief Executive Officer, and John Lepak, Chief Operating Officer of the Kronk Gym. I have a feeling this gym is going to be a great success in the city of Detroit, and I thank you for your time today, both of you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, the historic Route 66 will be featured at the Detroit Auto Show in January. We'll tell you all about it.
Joplin, Missouri.
And Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty.
You'll see Amarillo.
Gallup, New Mexico.
Flagstaff, Arizona.
Don't forget Winona.
Kingman.
Barstow, San Bernardino, won't you?
You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. The Detroit Auto Show returns to Detroit's Huntington Place in mid-January, and the show leaders have announced a really fun Route 66 experience and adventure. Sam Clement, the Detroit Auto Show Executive Director, is here today on Opportunity Detroit to tell us all about it. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sam, tell us about this Route 66 experience. I know you've done stuff with Route 66 in the past, but this year you've kind of elevated things.
We really have. It's a partnership that we have with America's Automotive Trust, which is based out of Tacoma, Washington. And we've had a long, as you referenced, partnership with them. But this is the centennial of Route 66, and so it's a special year. It's unique, though. I mean, obviously, Route 66 doesn't come through Detroit, but because of the long partnership, they thought that a great way to bookend the drive would be to have it in the city of Detroit, not only coming into Detroit as a part of the drive, but to then showcase the vehicles that are making this 13-day journey. And those shows will be on display at the auto show for the entirety of the show, which is January 14th to the 25th.
Oh, this is a great idea. So talk a little bit first about the actual cross-country vehicle convoy. Where does it start? When does it start? How does it work? How many vehicles?
Yeah, we're going to start on January 3rd at the Santa Monica Pier. Our first big stop, we'll do kind of a news conference and a kickoff event at Mel's Diner, which is in Santa Monica, the historic Mel's Diner. And then it'll go, like I said, for 13 days, and it'll go all over the place from Barstow, California to Golden Valley, Arizona. We'll have stops in Albuquerque. We'll have stops, you know, all the way through Oklahoma, places like Miami, Oklahoma, St. Louis, Missouri. Like I said, it'll go through Illinois and ultimately go to Chicago on the day before, and then come to Detroit on January 13th. There we're going to have an event, and we'll have a caravan that people can, you know, line up around Woodward if they want, and they can watch these vehicles drive in, and they'll end up at Huntington Place, and then we'll load them in and we'll put them up on display at Huntington Place on January 13th.
Oh, it's such a great idea. How many vehicles are we talking about, and what kind of vehicles, Sam?
Yeah, so we currently have 9 that are a part of the drive. So we've got, a 1960 Chrysler 300F, a 1965 Ford Country Squire, a 69 Chevy Camaro, a 1934 Buick Model 61 Club Sedan, a 92 Land Rover Discovery, a 69 Mercury Cougar, a 1952 Chevy 310 Deluxe Pickup, a 91 Ford Mustang, and a 2025 Ford Expedition that are all part of that. And those are just, the ones that are making the official drive, but we're going to have other people that join us throughout the route. Like I said, we're going across the country, and we'll have others that bring their classic vehicles, and we'll be a part of the caravan. So we'll have dozens of vehicles that'll be a part of this journey over the course of those 2 weeks.
Who drives the cars? The owners? I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun, to be honest.
We do. We have owners and enthusiasts that want to be a part of this. These are personal vehicles, and so these individuals take pristine care of them, and they make the journey, and they want to be a part of this. It's such a historic route, and the sights and the scenes will be incredible. I think there's a little bit of a charm of doing this in the winter as well, especially as you get closer into the Midwest, because that presents some unique challenges, but I think that makes it part of the fun. And so it really will be a special time. It's an opportunity for us to not only celebrate these vehicles, but so many businesses will be highlighted throughout this route across the country, whether it's small diners or local shops where we'll make stops, gas stations, and just to hear and tell people's story. And we're going to document all of this throughout the 13 days on our social media, so people can follow the journey there and see them coming from California to Detroit. And I think that's a unique way to tell the auto story and connect people from all generations.
It really is. So for people who obviously aren't going to be able to make the cross-country trek, what will they see at the exhibition at the show this year in mid-January, Sam?
So they'll see most of the vehicles that make the journey. Some of them won't be able to stay, but we'll see the majority of the vehicles. And, we're not even cleaning them up. We're going to keep them dirty. Oh. I think that's also an element of it. We want people to see what they picked up along the route. So they'll see these vehicles, and then we'll also have in the display some of the artifacts that we pick up along the way that document the journey along Route 66. You'll see the videos that come from the journey itself, too. And it's a chance, again, to really rally around the history. Like I said, we've had cars from 1934 that'll be a part of this journey. And, we're talking 2026 now. So, nearly, more than 90 years of cars connected in this display. And that'll be right there at the show for the entirety of that. And so it really is, a month-long celebration of Route 66 between the start of the drive and the end of the show.
This is such a great idea because, as we both know, people love old cars. It's a thing across this country all year long. So this is very smart on your part to have this.
Well, I think it's something special. I mean, anytime that we can talk about, where we've been with the auto industry, but also tie it to where we're going, I think is kind of the benefit of having anything in Detroit. This is where the auto industry started, and we want to, of course, reflect on the past, but also use that past to tell the story about the future. And then that's what an auto show is all about. And so this is a pretty natural relationship that we have with the drive home.
We're talking to Sam Clement. He's the Detroit Auto Show Executive Director. Now, Sam, it's December. The show is about a month away, maybe a little bit less. How are you doing? How are the plans coming along?
We're in a great spot. I feel real strong about where the show's headed. Last year, we came back to January for the first time in a number of years, and then that's just the natural fit. That's where we're supposed to be. That's home for the auto show. And so we had a lot of lessons learned. For me personally, that was my first time as an executive of the show, working alongside Rod Alberts as the co-executive director last year, and that was a valuable experience, and a lot of lessons were learned. And so when I took over as the sole executive director and February, we got to work right away for the 2026 show because there was some momentum that came out of what we did last January, and I wanted to build on that. And I think that our team has done an incredible job, not only our board of directors, but our staff and all of our partners, coming up with a show that feels very modern, very elevated, and very Detroit. And I think that that's something that people will feel when they walk into the building. And it will be a full week, two weeks of programming, whether it's our media and industry days, which we'll have moving back to their traditional format before charity preview. We actually kick off with the gallery on January 13th, which is a fundraiser for Forgotten Harvest. And of course, January 16th, we have Auto Prom and charity preview. So it'll be great. And then the public will be able to open the doors on January 17th and stay through the 25th. And we'll have programming pretty much every day of those 9 days of public show days. So something unique to see every single day.
Let's talk about charity preview for a few minutes. Are tickets still available? And who's going to be there this year? Give our listeners some idea of how they can participate.
Tickets are on sale right now.
Okay.
DetroitAutoShow.com. They're actually on sale for all of our nights, whether it's the gallery, media and industry days, charity preview, or the public. All tickets are on sale right now at DetroitAutoShow.com. As it pertains to charity preview, a really special night. Jalen Rose is going to be our master of ceremonies. Jalen, obviously, a great ties with the city of Detroit and playing at University of Michigan, but has been such an ambassador for the city with his Jalen Rose Leadership Academy and has really helped move the city forward in our renaissance over the last number of years. We've got DJ Remarkable, who's a local DJ who will kind of get the night going, and then Trick Trick, who has had a long career and is one of the most recognizable Detroit artists that we have. He's going to be our kind of our opener, and then Robin Thicke, who has had a series of number ones, will be our headliner for the evening. So it'll be a night to party. It'll be a night for people to get dressed up, and it's probably inevitable that we'll have a little bit of snow, but we'll have a great night and a lot of fun.
And let's talk about the actual show. What are some of the exhibits that you think our listeners will really enjoy this year?
I got to say, we have our Detroit 3, and I'll say our Detroit 3 Plus Toyota. They always step up big, and they're planning big exhibits this year with Ford, General Motors, Stellantis, and Toyota. They were some of the first that we announced, and I know they're coming in with big dynamic displays, and we're excited to see what they show off. But we've got some new ones as well. We brought Kia back last year, which is great. They're coming back again. And then Subaru, who hasn't been at our show for a number of years, felt the momentum that we had in January and built on that. And they said, we want to come back to Detroit. And so a group like that coming in there will be really special. We've got some really unique things planned for our gallery, which is our ultra luxury area, some unique vehicles that some brands that haven't been at the show in a number of years and sort of showcase those. Some of the rarest vehicles in the world will be on display there as well. And then we're opening what we call our Michigan Overland Adventure, which are our off-road vehicles and tents on the back of trucks. And this is a very unique space. Michigan has such a history of outdoors culture, especially up north. And we wanted to highlight that in its own area. And so we're bringing that this year for the first time. So all kinds of activities. In Hall E, we'll have our cars and community space where we'll have all kind of modified, incredible vehicles. We had that for the first time last year and have really grown it this year. And then in the atrium, we're launching our Visit Detroit interactive experience. And this is something that I'm really proud of what we've done as a show, because this is where we want young people to come and engage with the auto industry, where they think about careers, whether in engineering, design, becoming technicians. We're partnering with groups like the Michigan Science Center, Code 313. We've got some simulators down there. We've got Jeep and Ram are going to bring a kids track. And so it's a chance for kids to get involved with the auto industry in a very hands-on way. And that's something that, again, is brand new. So we're really proud of this.
It's a great idea to have as many interactive experiences as possible, because you can tell that when people come to the show, first of all, it's chilly outside, could be snowing. It's a great activity for the winter, but it's really nice to be able to kind of get your hands on the cars and on the different devices involved with the cars, both for, big kids and little kids.
I think the way that cars are being made now are evolving so rapidly that it's the best opportunity for people to experience what is out there in the market. It's one thing to walk around and see the very cool displays and what they look like on the outside, but you want to get in there and you want to see the technology on the inside. You want to feel what it's like to at least be in the passenger seat with some of our ride and drives. We gave over 100,000 rides last year. I anticipate that'll be even more this year. And so people have given us the feedback. Look, we want to see cool cars. Absolutely want to have those on display, but we also want to get in them and we want to see what they're all about. And so we're leaning into that quite a bit.
Sam Clement, Detroit Auto Show Executive Director. Tell us again how we can get the tickets. Give us the website one more time.
DetroitAutoShow.com, and the show is January 13th to the 25th. So go to DetroitAutoShow.com, and tickets for all of our events are available now.
Sam, thank you for your time today. It was great to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you, Ann.
And I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Get your kids on Route 66. Woo!